The government jobs report this morning tugs in opposing directions.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer or mobile device instantly streamed by Netflix to save you time, money, and hassle. Free 30-day trial now at netflix.com/APM.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update. There was word today that the unemployment rate in the U.S. moved up slightly in May to 7.6%, but a separate government survey shows payrolls in America were 175,000 higher. That's slightly better than expected, but the payroll figure for the previous month was revised downward. Chris Lowe is chief economist with FTN Financial and joins us from Washington today. Hello, Chris.
Good morning, David.
So payrolls go up a little more quickly than expected, but if you factor in a downward revision for the month before, for April, what do you get?
Well, you get almost exactly as expected. You know, 175,000 new jobs in May, a 12,000 downward revision. It is pretty much as lukewarm a report as you could possibly ask for.
Who's getting jobs?
Well, the biggest job gains are, unfortunately, lower-paying service jobs. There's almost nothing going on in the goods-producing sector. And on the service side, we're seeing job growth in retail, leisure, and hospitality. Those are primarily part-time jobs. And we're seeing yet another big increase in temporary hiring.
Meanwhile, over in the market psychology universe, how is this report going to be taken by those who are worried that the Federal Reserve might throttle back on its stimulus?
Well, as you might imagine, I've been staring at my screen since the release, and what we're seeing is overwhelming confusion. You know, if we had job growth of 200,000 or more, it's easy. They'll throttle back. 150,000 or less, that's easy, too. They won't throttle back. And, of course, 175,000 is right in the middle.
Now, Chris Lowe is actually going to attend a meeting of the Federal Reserve Board in Washington this afternoon. Chris, if they say anything about this tapering business, you'll give us a call, right?
Oh, I'll absolutely give you a call, but I can assure you right now I will have no more inkling whether they're going to do anything after the meeting than I do at the moment. These guys are the best poker players I know.
Oh, a bunch of sphinxes and Mona Lisas, the whole board there. Christopher Lowe, chief economist, FTN Financial, thank you very much.
Thank you.
With a jobs report essentially at war with itself, it's interesting to note that people have been out there buying a lot lately. Marketplace's Mitchell Hartman looks into this.
Consumers are finally starting to feel some love, with confidence at a five-year high. Economist Lynn Franco at the Conference Board says during the recession, half of people thought jobs were hard to get. That's down to roughly a third.
I wouldn't say consumers are euphoric, but there has been some moderate improvement in how they view the labor market.
Franco says consumer confidence isn't so much about the official unemployment numbers, which most people don't know anyway. It's about their own job or friends and family.
I know people who are still unemployed, but I know people who have gotten jobs and been promoted, and I think there's cautious optimism.
Portland commercial real estate broker Miles Von Bergen was grabbing lunch at an outdoor cafe. Retiree Sally Kenny's also more upbeat.
Probably because the stock market, my investments look a whole lot better. Unfortunately, I don't see that much change in unemployment.
Partly because one of her own children is still unemployed. I'm Mitchell Hartman for Marketplace.
This podcast is supported by Netflix Instant Streaming. Watch thousands of TV episodes and movies on your computer, iPad, iPhone, or TV instantly. Streamed now by Netflix, a great value. Netflix Streaming has lots of movie and television options, including past seasons of House of Cards, Breaking Bad, and Arrested Development. Watch them using Netflix Instant Streaming and find thousands of other TV series and movies during your free 30-day trial at netflix.com/APM.
Fresh revelations overnight show the federal government's spying program isn't limited to just Verizon. According to reports from The Washington Post and The Guardian, the National Security Agency is also taking information from nine top internet companies, including Google, Facebook, and Microsoft. The companies deny knowing or helping. Codenamed PRISM is described by the government as among the most important and valuable foreign intelligence that is collected. Yesterday, we learned the National Security Agency got a secret court order to take those phone records from millions of Verizon customers. And when they say phone records, what about texts? I just tapped into my own phone records, that is to say my monthly bill, and there are all the texts listed to whom and from whom. Marketplace's Quina Kim reports on text messaging and so-called phone records.
Benny Lagos is the chief strategy officer for Sestine, a company that specializes in cell phone forensics. I asked him, if you're a bad guy, is it better to text or call?
I'd rather not comment on that.
Lagos doesn't want to tip off the bad guys, but he did say the law enforcement and military officials Sestine works with focus a lot on texts.
Terrorists are given their directives via a text. So there's rarely, if ever, a voice command.
Assuming that the NSA is only going after phone records, isn't that a big handicap?
You may not have the smoking gun.
But Lagos says you can still get a lot of intelligence from tracking phone calls and collect enough circumstantial evidence to make an arrest. Mark Rumold is an attorney at the civil liberty group, the Electronic Frontier Foundation.
There's nothing in this order that appears to exclude text message metadata.
And he says if it does, another secret order might include it. In San Francisco, I'm Quina Kim for Marketplace.
The tiny Gulf state of Qatar is, per capita, the richest country on earth, and it's been flashing its wealth around. It's been on a $60 billion a year foreign spending spree, pouring billions into things like the Arab Spring and snapping up trophy assets in places like Europe. But as Marketplace's Stephen Beard reports, the binge may be ending.
Qatar's spending spree reached a sort of peak last year when the mayor of London cut the ribbon on the city's newest skyscraper.
I have great pleasure in declaring the highest viewing platform in Europe, if not the world, open.
It's Europe's tallest building, called the Shard, and it belongs to Qatar. So does the luxury department store Harrods, and a top French soccer club, and a string of other valuable European assets. But Qatar's acquired another prize that could now stem the flow of its foreign investment.
The winner is Qatar!
Since winning the right to host the 2022 Soccer World Cup, says analyst Toby Isles, Qatar's been splurging at home.
Things like the metro, the airport, a new deep-sea port, lots of housing, more roads. So I think some of their foreign purchases will go down as they're spending more domestically.
But Qatar may pull in its horns for another reason. The country has bought influence in the Middle East by pouring billions into liberation movements in Libya, Tunisia, Egypt and Syria. Now there are signs that policy is backfiring. This hit song from Egypt is based satirically on a famous anthem to Arab nationalism. The words have been mockingly rewritten to say, "My beloved Qatar, your wealth grows daily and your investments fill our world." Analyst George Joffe.
Qatar's small size, with an enormous influence because of its wealth, is resented by many other states as well. So the backlash is hardly surprising.
Qatar's flag and effigies of its leader have been burned by protesters in several Arab countries. The world's richest nation seems likely to lower its international profile and retreat back to its home turf. I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
That piece had the added benefit of offering many different pronunciations of the country's name, Qatar. Much of the wealth lost during the Great Recession is back, but wait for two footnotes here. A new Federal Reserve report shows that the net worth of American households plus nonprofit organizations went up 4.5% early this year to about $3 trillion. Net worth equals houses, savings, investment assets minus what is owed. Now, that's the highest since 1945, but the Wall Street Journal points out that does not factor in inflation, nor does it say anything about the distribution of wealth, whether the increase in net worth was widespread or a few doing way better. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Midday Update from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too.
Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.